Hi, welcome to Juicing the People versus O.J. Simpson.
American Crime Story.
I'm your host, Adam Papagan.
And I'm J.J. Stratford. Every week we discuss the latest O.J. Simpson television drama and fact check it against our memories as Los Angeles natives who grew up in the middle of the ultimate media circus.
Images seen in tonight's episode are the real-life images taken from the Los Angeles Times and various other publications. So, JJ, before we jump into what happened on this week's episode and what's going on in the world of OJ this week, there's one part in the episode last night that I liked. Remember when Marcia Clark and Christopher Darden were having a drink in her office?
Oh, yes.
Had tequila and she had whiskey in her desk. Well, we here at Juicing, we've got some orange juice. This is from our new sponsor, FarmBox. Check them out online. We'll link to them on the Facebook page and in the YouTube video if you're watching. There'll be a little link down in the description. But they've touched on this in the TV movie and in the series, OJ liked OJ. So we're just going to...
And we do too, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently. You don't like orange juice?
Well, now that we have a sponsor, I like orange juice a lot more.
Well, they FarmBox has many, if you don't like orange juice, they have a lot of other great stuff. They'll deliver produce right to your door every week. Fresh produce.
Now, is this cold pressed orange juice?
It's definitely fresh squeezed. You can see all the pulp and artifacts in there. It's going to be great. I can't wait to
Ooh, it smells fresh.
This. Yeah.
It Should is. Be toast.
I mean, yeah.
Here's to
show
the
about juice. Murder, but yeah. What the hell?
Here's to the juice.
Juice it up with FarmBox. So what's on the docket tonight?
Well, we've got a lot to cover. We're in the fourth episode of The People versus O.J. Simpson American Crime Story.
Mm-hmm. This is probably my favorite episode so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love this
one. Oh, because you're a fan of the Dream Team, that's why.
I love the Dream Team. I love the Dream Team.
Well, you got your full dose in this one.
Yes, ma'am. So,
should we get to the week in OJ news?
Yes, this week in OJ news. So this was inevitable. A lot of the people involved, the real life people involved in the trial, are coming out and giving their two cents. They think that they're Adam and JJ or something. They just give up their opinions. But we just, before the show, watched an interview with Khloe Kardashian. She's very magnanimous about it. She said she liked the show, but they got some stuff wrong. Like they never chanted Kardashian.
And that the suicide, OJ's almost suicide, was actually in Khloe's room, not Kim's. So it's Khloe that's destined for fame.
They all are. They're all very famous. They are.
Speaking of the not so famous, the Goldman family has also come out. And they are furious with the show, or it's just making them feel uncomfortable. They weren't contacted, and they weren't. They think that they're not really going to be a part of this story this go around.
Yeah, I could see that. They're pretty against the whole situation, though. Beyond even before the movie, they've been very vocal about. Wishing that this didn't happen. So I'm sure that this is kind of a little salt in the wound.
It's a little bit hard for them to move past it because it keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Every decade, OJ comes back and takes over the media. So it's kind of hard for them to think of the future.
Yeah.
If he's always there.
And he will always be.
Apparently.
I think so.
Yeah.
He is staying, because the real OJ, you know, he's a murderer. He can't be famous. So now we just have the story of OJ. That has to suffice.
And after this program, then there's another documentary, and there's already the 30 for 30. It just keeps going and going. They just keep juicing it for all it's worth.
Juicing it for all it's worth.
Speaking of which, Cato Kaelin has his own commentary show now.
He does?
He does, yes. Oh. Every week, he reviews the show kind of like we do. It's on the New York Daily News. If you follow him on Twitter, he posts his articles.
I wasn't aware that Cato could write, so that's interesting.
Well, the ghostwriter. Oh. You know, that's a theme in the O.J. Simpson trial. It's all ghostwriters.
A show about the ghostwriters.
Yeah. Oh, that should be the next one. A ghostwriter show.
Yeah.
No, but Cato's also really unhappy with the new series. He thinks that they have made him into some kind of buffoon, and he's more like Garth from Wayne's World than he is Cato Kaelin.
That's an apt description. Has he ever looked in the mirror? He is a buffoon. Like they didn't really have to do much to.
I like Cato.
I love Cato.
Cato's the California guy.
He's from Colorado.
I know, but most California guys aren't from California.
He does embody the California spirit.
Yeah. And he's, as you said before, the comic relief. If he lightens the load of this brutal murder.
Mm-hmm. Double murder.
Double murder. Sorry, Ron.
And Nicole. So one other thing we need to clear up in our own, because, you know, we fact check the series and we want to... We don't want all this Hollywood mumbo-jumbo to obscure what was such an important part of the 90s. Some of you might know, I lead an O.J. Simpson tour of Brentwood. Check ojtour.bigcartel.com for future dates. But one of the guests on the tour a few weeks ago took a picture of the condo, the one right behind us, Nicole's condo, and put it on Instagram. And strangers looked at the geotag, and they were like, that's not the right house. It's 879. Well, what they didn't know is that that is the right condo. They changed the address to keep strangers who don't know any better from going to it.
So there is no more 875 Bundy Drive.
It's 871 now, I think, is what they changed it to.
So... if you see any pictures and you're confused, or you're driving by,
you might
not find it because they changed the address.
But it's the tiles is what really gives it away.
Now, before this new TV show, not that many people besides the people that went on your tour would drop by that place.
Yeah, I'm sure people come all the time.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, now that the show's out?
Now that the show's out. Yeah, I read an article that people are driving by all the time. And I thought, uh-oh, the tour might be in danger.
Well, the tour lives on.
No. You don't move there and not expect that to happen. Isn't that part of the real estate?
Mm-hmm. I want to... In a perfect world, I would own the condo. And I would put, like, a plaque in the front.
Like a body outline?
Chalk, yeah. No, it's like
funny,
a memorial.
Not funny. Yeah.
It was on this site in 1992.
Would you restore it back to this architecture?
Of course.
Yeah. It's got to have that steel gate. I don't know why they gave it that faux European look.
You have to get like a fabricator to make the gate for you.
Well, you have plenty of reference images. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into the episode.
Okay.
What a week it was.
Yeah.
In the People versus O.J. Simpson.
Heavy on the dream team.
the show opens up with a flashback.
Finally! I was like, oh, this show is going to do flashbacks, but it was just a little tease.
The tease flashback. Do you think O.J. was a good dancer?
Oh, come on. Yeah.
He was cutting it up.
I thought they always use that CNC Music Factory song. It's so, like, default 90s song. But I thought it would have been more effective to the story if it was LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out.
Mama Said Knock You Out.
Yeah. I know. I might as well.
Didn't he, like, wake up, like, screaming from the dream?
No, he woke up and he was in jail and he had, like, gross jail food and that was his reality. I could be clubbing, I could be drinking champagne and oysters in the club.
Shouldn't have killed her.
Shouldn't have killed her.
So this episode was all about the dream team. The biggest actors on the show are the Dream Team.
Yeah.
So that makes me like them even more. Did you notice, I thought a nice little, well, they did a couple I'm nice little.
I'm going to change the slide. Speaking of Dream Team.
There's Johnny Cochran. They do a good job on the show of putting in like little references that they don't, dive into, like kind of little subtle things.
Oh yeah. That's kind of like the style.
I like it though. I think it works well. Two little Easter eggs I noticed.
Mm-hmm. I noticed one too.
Okay. Well, when they were having breakfast, Effley Bailey is drinking a Bloody Mary. He's an alcoholic.
Oh.
Maybe he got the DUI and.
Oh, I don't know that story.
Yeah, he got. They mentioned it in, I think, the second episode, real quick. Uh-huh. Effley Bailey had got a DUI and Robert Shapiro represented him. It was the longest DUI trial in California history.
Is that how they became friends?
Yeah, or they probably knew each other for the Bar Association or something.
Just lawyer clubs.
Yeah. So is that. And then when they got the Jewish cuisine from Nate and Al's to show how different their style was from Johnny Cochran's style.
Oh, yeah.
Salmon and whitefish bagels.
They also did it when Ito's wife is signing the, like, spousal conflict form or something. Yeah.
Mark Furman.
That's a little tease. Her pen was like hovering over Mark mm-hmm. Furman's name. Looks great to me, honey. High five.
Yeah, the high five was great. I hope to be in a marriage someday where my wife and I are open enough with each other to high five.
Yeah, like, your dreams are coming true. Adam, high five.
Let me hang it. Murder case.
Wow, we're going to be famous this off of murder.
It's going to be big. Robert Shapiro's line. Who thinks OJ did it?
Who thinks OJ did it? Well, that's also a little bit of a tease because it's later it came out that Robert Shapiro maybe thought he was guilty. I mean.
Everyone did, though.
Do you think so? I think there comes a time where they kind of act just like OJ and live in a fantasy that it's not true.
Well, it shouldn't matter. It's hard to do a job.
Right.
They do some good lawyering.
So did you see when he says 100, absolutely 100% not guilty, the sure. camera zooms right into his face?
I did notice the zooms a lot more this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to, you kind of ruined the show for me a little bit.
Sorry.
By pointing that out.
Oh, the camera stuff, yeah.
I was just so engrossed in the story.
I pulled you out.
Yeah.
Saying, look at this cinematography. It's like VR or something. It's just too wobbly. Goggly VR.
Goggly. Goobly, goggly.
Mm-hmm. It's making me sick.
Yeah. One thing I really didn't like in this episode is when they had like the fake Law and Order, like preliminary hearing thing across the bottom.
Oh, yeah. It's just minus the dun dun sound effect.
But they also had the credits going during that. It's a little confusing. They were like starring Sarah Paul's in preliminary hearing. You know, it's like too much text.
Too much text.
Too much text. Some more of this orange juice.
Well, they finally get into the details of starting to form the case. And I like the scene where they're fighting over they're splitting hairs over the hairs.
Mm-hmm. Separate hearing for the hairs.
Mm-hmm. I love it that the hairs is what shows them, like, don't underestimate Johnny Cochran. Because he's going to fight you even on a hair. You're only going to get 10 hairs? What was the total hairs?
Five. Well, that's how much they wanted to give out of 100. And then, like, he got the hearing and they're like...
A whole hearing on just the hair? Mm-hmm. Was that televised?
No.
I want to see that.
Yeah, we got to get the transcripts from the hair hearing.
Okay, yeah. I actually really do want to read the transcripts of that.
A public record, it's available.
Well, let's get it for the show.
Absolutely. So, after the hair scene, Johnny visits OJ in jail. And kind of
And then it becomes fan fiction.
You think so?
Yeah.
I hate eating the slop, Johnny.
When I saw you running, I don't know. It was kind of corny. But then again, it's a television movie. TV movies have to have those corny scenes.
I thought it worked. I think I love this show. I don't think it's a secret. I love everything about this show.
You do?
Yeah, even especially the bad elements.
Yeah, I like the bad elements kind of get me going. Like when they really, because one thing that's happening a lot in this episode is they're kind of moving the timeline all around just to like make a concise episode.
What would you change to make it different?
Flashbacks.
Yeah. It could use more flashbacks.
Yeah. One
possible criticism.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to include Nicole, except for her DNA.
Yeah, she's not going to be in it. One less actor to hire.
Yeah.
Who could even take on that kind of role, though?
Speaking of which, they really made an update on Ito's wife in the TV movie.
His cop wife.
His cop wife. There she is in real life.
Oh, it was your full screen. Yeah.
I always forget.
We'll start with you.
That's our special clip.
That's our special clip. Oh, there we go. Can we take the lower thirds off of it?
Thank you.
Even though it's funny.
Yeah.
We have to screen grab that. But yeah, there's the real Ito. I'm sorry I'm forgetting his wife's name right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Cop lady.
But she's going to come up again later. Mm-hmm. She's going to.
Should we say what that is, or no? Sure. The series will cover it.
The series will cover it. We got a file there pacing. Oh. How do I get rid of that? Okay. Well, whatever.
Whatever, exactly.
Yeah.
Faye Resnick, love her.
Yes, I do love Faye Resnick. But I read Faye Resnick's book.
How was it?
I recommend it. You can listen to it on tape, and it's only like 2.5 hours long. She must have written it like on the way back from the funeral because it came out so fast. But in the show, I feel like they were just putting the cheap parts of her book in it. They weren't really.
Like, what other kind of stuff did they have?
They just go straight to the Brentwood Hello, which is in the end of the book.
I love a good Brentwood Hello.
Don't ask me for one.
It's you got to be in Brentwood. I don't want to drive all the way across town just for that. But yeah, the Brentwood Hello.
There she is.
That's what Faye Resnick looks like?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that's when she was on Geraldo.
Mm. I just assume she looked like Connie Britton.
Well, she's very, in the show, she's playing it kind of boozy,
but from the
clips that I've seen of Faye Resnick, she was a little bit stronger than the way this woman, Connie, is playing it. She wouldn't really let the Dream Team kind of boss her around. She kind of took control. She was on Larry King, and she doesn't let anything slip by. And on Geraldo. She's like calling out Geraldo as being sexist during the interview.
Oh, that's
really
cool.
Good. Yeah.
Good for her. The Larry King scene.
Larry King's so stoked that he's can do a cameo as himself and relive it all. He's the only one playing himself.
Yeah, that's true. So far.
Yeah, they really messed up not hiring Cato Caitlin to play Cato Caitlin. My other thing I would do, if I were making it, I would make Cato be Cato.
Larry King is so old that it didn't matter. Like, he still looks the same because he was old back then.
Right. They're not like, you were like.
No, just looks just like my old set at CNN. He was probably so happy.
The show is messing up the timeline of the Larry King interviews, though. A lot of these interviews that he did were after the verdict.
Really?
The one with Robert Shapiro, it's like after.
Robert Shapiro wasn't on.
Or what's his best friend that they have a falling out? See how much I remember Ron Goldman's name, not really F. Lee Bailey. That's mm-hmm. his name.
Oh, that was after?
Yeah.
I don't really like how they're taking stuff out of order.
They're taking it out of order, and it kind of takes away from the narrative arc of the true story. Because these things sort of come out slowly. But what, getting back to Faye Resnick, in her book, she does talk about, like, Nicole being promiscuous and being into cocaine and going to clubs. And it's I really recommend the book because it talks about all the 90s clubs. Like, we went to Roxbury and...
That was a real place?
Things like... Yeah, it was.
Ooh, I only know it from the SNL sketch.
Mm, yeah. She name drops a lot of good clubs. But also, she kind of puts Nicole's sexuality into context. O.J. Simpson met Nicole when she was 17 years old.
18.
Or 18. But probably barely 18, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
She was up in L.A. for the summer to make money.
Yeah. He snatched her up and he molded her to be the perfect wife. And throughout the book, it kind of... you kind of see the evolution of Nicole's life of, like, marrying someone famous, being molded into this, like, beautiful trophy wife, her not wanting to be a trophy wife. And also it kind of goes into OJ's obsession with her and his insane jealousy. And it also throws in a theory about a motive that would make OJ kill her.
Beyond jealousy?
Well, she was currently had been sleeping with not AC, but
Marcus Allen,
and I guess that was like that's just like the last straw. And she really apparently liked Marcus. She always had a crush on him, and she was never unfaithful during the marriage. But
because Marcus Allen thing is in If I Did It.
Mm-hmm.
But I remembered that because OJ finds out and he's like mad. But I remember in the suicide note, OJ mentions Marcus and he's like, "You got a good woman in Kathy. Don't mess things up." Kathy was his fiance. So that.
Well, maybe he was covering it up because he knew Marcus was the last straw.
Hmm. No.
I mean, anybody would be jealous if they still love their ex and then they were doing it in Brentwood, you know, behind your back. Might get kind of mad.
Can you make this picture full screen again?
Yeah. Ugh. Changed on me.
I think Faye Resnick is fine.
You think she's, you mean she's good fine, looking?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just, if I were OJ, I'd, you know.
Well, she does talk about how OJ, like, put the boots on her from time to time, and it made her very uncomfortable.
She's good-looking gal. She
she did Playboy later, too.
Oh, really?
Jeez, yeah.
We get those pictures for next week, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's worth a Google after midnight.
Mm-hmm. Faye Resnick.
But I think this series is not spending a lot of time on Nicole's battery.
Maybe they're building.
Maybe they're building towards it. It's just all dream team. It's obvious that no women are writing the script so much.
Yeah. That's...
I'm like, the dream team is the most interesting part of this story. I don't think so.
Look, they got Travolta to sign on. They need to maximize the Travolta.
I'm loving him. I think this is really a comeback role for him.
Mm-hmm. And he's come back many times.
Mm-hmm.
He came back from his vacation in Hawaii. Hawaiian shirt.
I loved that. I loved it. Because, you know, he probably did go to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
He probably did run away from his inevitable guilt.
What do you think about Cheryl Ladd in this episode?
Is that his wife?
Yeah.
I like her because she's talking about the 911 phone calls. She's the one who's, like, the voice of the housewives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't do this. Like, you know. They're kind of making it seem like it's a divide between... A racial divide, but it's also a divide between, like, women's rights and people saying Nicole's a gold digger or whatever. Like, there's a lot of the woman is sort of second in this story. No one wants to believe that she was beaten, poor thing. 9-1-1 phone calls.
OJ claims, and if I did it, that there's only like one incidence of battery. But now the show is saying there's a lot more, but the show has gotten other things wrong. Not that I believe OJ, but...
In Faye Resnick's book, it's something like 20 times. I was like, okay, I think she is exaggerating. And she definitely wrote the book to get the spotlight of some sort. But I don't think that she is the reason why some Colombian drug dealers killed Nicole Simpson.
She was living at Bundy.
She was living at Bundy, but she went into cocaine treatment 4 days before the murders. Mm. And OJ apparently says that it was because of a bad drug deal that Nicole was murdered, because it was like mistaken identity. He was really trying to kill Faye Resnick.
Drug dealers would have guns, though.
Drug dealers would have guns, and also so many people in Brentwood were doing coke. I don't think they have like a Colombian drug lord cocaine habit. I think they were probably drug dealers' best customers.
Yeah, why would you want to kill your best customer?
Why would you want to kill them? They probably let you drive the Ferrari.
Bad business. Good car, though. All right. Well, you have here Ito highlighting the book.
Yeah, in the show, like they have Judge Ito is like highlighting Faye Resnick's book. It's some threat to the jury selection, but I bet you he was highlighting the Brentwood Hello.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to remember that.
Honey, we gotta.
We gotta move to Brentwood.
Well, Goldman's had their first part in the show this week.
Thank goodness! I really, really wanted the Goldmans to be represented somehow, and
emotional outburst by.
Well, Fred Goldman is so emotional. Every time he would get on television back in the day, he would just make me weep, because he was like the first man I ever saw just like crying his eyes out on live television. He had like nothing to hide. But he does say in the show that Ron seems just like a footnote to his own murder.
I would say that's accurate.
And I also think Ron Goldman is going to be a footnote in this television show.
For sure.
So on our show tonight, we're going to remember Ron. We're going to take a moment to remember Ron Goldman.
Some of his life before this tragic murder.
Now, your father has a story about Ron Goldman. You touched on it a little bit in the first episode, but I kind of want you to tell us a little more.
Oh, sure. So, Brentwood native here. Westwood, technically, but, you know. Brentwood was a short
drive. Didn't you go to school with Justin Simpson?
I did, in middle school.
Yeah.
Not elementary school, which was the age that all this was going on, unfortunately. I would have loved to have been deeper in there. But definitely the settings that they're talking about in the show I'm very familiar with from growing up. And the Mezzaluna restaurant was, there's not a ton of restaurants in Brentwood on San Vicente. And so that was one of the places you would go. My dad said that Matt claims he never forgets a face. Never forgets a face. And he was in the Mezzaluna before the murder, and Ron Goldman waited on him. And my dad said that he was arrogant and cocky.
Oh.
That's how he remembers Ron Goldman.
Well, I guess we will see.
Huh?
I've brought in a clip tonight. We're going to try something new on the show. Ron Goldman is one of the most famous guests to appear on Studs, which was a dating show in the 90s that I loved. It was kind of a mixture. Here it is. A mixture of The Dating Game and Love Connection. And that's Ron Goldman on the couch. He's gone out on a date with three girls, and this is what they have to say about him. So I guess we'll watch it and get a taste of what Ron really was like.
Yeah, let's check it out.
You make a good impression on the phone over with a woman?
I guess so. Maybe get I don't rid like of to us. Talk a lot on the phone, so I'm kind of blunt to the point. Just let's get it going.
Be ready at 8. I'll be there. Boom.
Be there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We asked the ladies what their impressions were of you when they talked to you on the phone, Ron. And here's what they said. One of them said, rough, wild, and oh, so sexy. Second lady said, this guy is mucho macho. Third lady said, I got a date with Pauly Shook.
So one of the girls.
I've got
no, come on. Say it right.
Got a date with Pauly Shook. Connie.
Connie? Oh, what'd you say, Constance?
I said this guy is mucho macho.
Really? Why?
Well, because when I first talked to him on the phone, he had a deep voice.
Oh, he must have loved it.
Like mashing. And I thought, this guy better be hot with personality like that. So.
Meaning his personality was great, or?
What a date he
kind of, like you said, straightforward on the phone. I think you talk about himself the whole time. Kind of cocky.
Apparently,
like that?
He just...
No.
Just business. Okay, now this is Ron
over
Goldman
here.
In the 1995.
Okay. On Cafe Americano Grande.
You do that so well. Have you ever thought of becoming a waiter?
So, what do you think? Are you going to go with me to the gate on Friday?
See, now I know what you're thinking. If I go on a date with you, then maybe I'll let you drive my Ferrari again.
Oh, come on, Nicole. That is only part of the attraction here.
Well, I'm too old for you.
Come on. Did you hear me proposing marriage?
Just talking about going
dancing.
More Guido
style. Uh-oh.
There's OJ. He's watching.
Do you still like that?
That's Luna.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi.
But I like Cuba's...
Look, Ms. Are you sure he's right here?
I don't remember if this is what it looked like.
Is that what it looked like?
I don't remember. Every restaurant that I know, it looked like.
It's Nicole Simpson.
And they were... And I don't know if Ron Goldman wore long sweaters.
Mmm. He's trying to show off his muscles.
Well, if I bring them down, are you going to let me drive your Ferrari again?
Mucho macho.
That's right. And
cappuccino.
And he did karate.
Mm-hmm. You're so generous, Nicole.
Anyway, I have really...
Okay, I'll be right there.
As much as we talk about this show...
Have you seen a pair of glasses around here somewhere?
Yeah. The victims. At least in the 1995 version, they...
Like the deed for today. See you later.
Night, Ron.
...be remembered to be reenacted. I think this new show is not going to do it.
Mm-mm. No way.
They're going to stay away from the Goldmans.
I do want to see some stuff about the karate, though. I'm interested in that. And if I did it, there's a quote where OJ is like... You're gonna do that karate shit? It's my favorite part of the book.
Oops.
Oh, let's get right in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, there's Ron. Yeah. There's
Mucho
the earring.
Macho.
Mucho macho.
It does seem a little smug. In fairness to
my
dad.
Well, he played tennis.
Mm.
He's like a tennis pro.
Kind of a smug
it's
hobby.
Kind of a smug thing to be into.
Mm-hmm. The earring.
And cappuccinos. It's kind of a new thing in the 90s.
Yeah, it was big in the 90s.
Yeah.
Think he had just that one earring that he liked, or do you have a couple ones?
I think it's just the one earring.
I'm fascinated by the earring.
I'm sure some, like, Brentwood MILF bought it for him. It's probably real gold.
Is he buried in the earring? Or was his family like... No, seriously. He loved that earring... We gotta leave it on.
We gotta fact check that. It was he buried.
Check the autopsy. He loved his
terrible.
Earring.
Oh.
When was the studs episode?
1991.
So he wore that earring for over a year.
A few years. 3 years.
Oh, 94. I was thinking it was 92. Yeah, wow. He loved that earring.
Yeah, he was 25 at the time.
Oh, so he's just a young man.
I can't remember if one earring was a big thing for...
In the 90s? Yeah, it was a big deal. Mm-mm. One time when I was a kid, my mom told me, she was like, you know, if you ever want to get one of your ears pierced, it's cool with me. I was like, that's not going to be fashionable,
Ron Goldman,
Mom. Yeah.
You saw Ron Goldman in the paper, in the tabloids.
Yeah,
and you're like, no, I'm not going to get a earring.
This looks terrible. I'm definitely not going to cut my hair like that either.
Really? I kind of like slick back hair.
thick kind of 90s way. Uh-huh. A little pre swing craze. Yeah. Hair slick back.
Yeah, it's more wham, mm-hmm. post-wham hair.
Yeah. Do you think he would have liked swing music?
No, he liked club music.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. With that earring. Mm-hmm. See, yeah, he would love...
He'd probably dance like this.
I think he's more like a... Boom, boom, like, boom, 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 boom. Like kind of freak up to a girl and like touch her hips or something. Oh, he's that sure. kind of guy. I think, yeah.
Older women.
Older women, yeah. Well, can't blame him.
Yeah, Nicole is...
She's smoking.
Yeah, she was a babe. Yeah. Definitely. OJ Simpson story. We've played all the clips. The people versus celebrities. What's that all about?
Well, here we go. For name drop of the week.
Name drop of the week.
Charlie Manson.
No, they call him Charlie.
They do. Charlie Manson.
I thought that was a very familiar way to refer to him.
Oh, yeah. It is because it was the police talking about mm-hmm. it. They remember it. They're on a nickname basis with all their best murder.
Well, he didn't actually murder anyone.
Is that why they can't kill him?
Yes. Well, also, no. When he was sentenced, they didn't have the death penalty in California. So they can't retroactively give it to him.
So let's discuss how did it lead into a name drop?
They wanted to ask for the death penalty on O.J. Simpson.
And Gil said, it's off that books. Or not.
Like, no jury is going to vote to execute O.J. Simpson. We can't even get the death penalty for Charlie Manson. There's also a runner-up for name drop of the week, Patty Hearst.
Oh, yeah.
And who else did F. Lee Bailey represent? Some other famous criminal.
I don't know why.
Why is he representing so many criminals?
Because that's where the money is, and it's high profile. It's probably exciting, too. It's better than a tax evasion
yeah.
or something.
But district attorney.
If you want to be popular, you got to be scandalous. Mm-hmm. You got to have your hand in something weird.
A lot of lawyers I met, too, are a little... they're like... Very straight-laced people, or they're like a little eccentric, like want to be actors, want the limelight kind of thing. It's a very polarizing profession. Mm-hmm. And Ito and F. Lee Bailey definitely seem more like, all the lawyers in this trial definitely seem more like the publicity types.
I gotta get rid of this Charles Manson picture. Marsha.
This is a great one, huh? Oh, the focus group about how people didn't like her.
Yes.
I liked that part.
Well, people still aren't used to it, but imagine in the 90s seeing a woman as self-assured and good at her job and, like, taking charge. Of course they would think their first reaction would be that she's a bitch. That this is the plight of Marsha Clark in the entire case.
Do you think, though, that she is kind of a bitch, maybe?
No, I think she's... really strong and really passionate and really believed in the case and hungry for justice. She also was a victim of spousal battery, so I think it also turned a little something in her to really like get justice for Ron and Nicole.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The hair, though.
The hair. And they still don't have... They do bring it up. Like, why don't you soften your look? I feel like that was a little bit like, I don't know.
The hair, though, that's terrible.
I love her bad hair, though. It's just like, I don't care. I'm not a magazine photo. I'm a frazzled, hardworking, underslept lawyer.
Divorcee,
two kids.
Two misbehaved kids.
And... I'm going up against the dream team. Of course, your hair would fry out of stress. Mm-hmm. I don't believe her hair is really straight. I feel uncomfortable when I see her with straight hair.
Well, you have her book right here. Yeah. If we can get a shot of this. This, she has the straight hair in this. And then I'm just looking at this now. The back cover of the book is like her neck, and she has a dog tag that says Faith. What's up with that? Did you read this?
I'm not done reading that, no.
Okay.
But it's because that's all she could live on. She knew she wasn't going to win this case eventually. By the time the jury was selected, she knew she wasn't going to win, but she had to have faith in the evidence. So I think that's why she's wearing a Faith dog tag on the back.
She's also sitting on a box of files that say the people.
Imagine how many boxes there really are, though.
Let's get a Freedom of Information Act request.
Oh, gosh. I would just love to look through those files, wouldn't you? Check out this image of Marcia Clark. Can we go full screen on that one, Cameron? Oops. Look at her in her office. This is in her book.
Jim Morrison poster?
Yeah, exactly.
This lady was incompetent.
Just judging her on the Jim Morrison poster?
She's drinking tequila at work. She's smoking in a government building.
Oh, she's so cool. She's definitely not a bitch.
Listen to Light My Fire. No, I don't.
She sings Light My Fire in her head every time she lights a cigarette. I think she's really badass. And of course, everybody always thinks a badass is a bitch, especially a lawyer.
I don't like her.
Last week you said, who doesn't have a crush on her?
No, I said that Bill has a crush on her.
Oh, I thought you said, who doesn't have a crush on Marcia?
No, we can watch. Maybe, well, my opinion's changed after seeing that office.
Making you stare, at the office.
Okay, imagine.
Anyone that likes a.
Okay, you're like, you know, you sit down in the district attorney's office, and you're like, she's like, we're so sorry, but we're going to get the person who ran over your son. And then, like, you look up, and there's, like, Jim Moore's in those leather pants. Are you kidding me? That's so unprofessional. Did she buy that poster?
What would you rather she had? What other kind of poster could she have in her office?
A poster cactuses or something? I don't know.
Or one of those, like, inspirational speech things? Like
justice.
Justice will be served.
Mm-hmm. American flag. She was...
Now you know why I was like, this is definitely going in episode 3 of Juicing the People versus O.J. Simpson American Crime Story.
Yeah, I just totally see why you did that.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of reality. Let's remember who Marcia Clark really is.
Well, we're almost out of time here. Did want to touch on
Let's remember Nicole.
Yeah, let's put Nicole up there, huh? I was... Whoa, what's that?
There we go.
Oh, the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. That's probably down in Orange County, where she was from. One thing I noticed on this episode, I think they've been doing a really good job with, at least with OJ, is recreating his outfits, his famous outfits, the mugshot ones.
Oh, yeah.
And that suit that he's wearing in court.
Here's that suit.
The green suit, yeah.
Well, there's plenty of reference images, so they have... I mean, they have to get it right.
Well, the wardrobe, the production designer is doing a bang-up job.
Yeah. I don't know about the cinematography.
No. If there's one thing I would change, it would be that.
Mm-hmm.
Just the regular style TV show, I think, would have been fine for this.
Yeah.
But they got to make it modern. They got to make it like American Horror Story. It's a spin-off series.
Well, maybe they should put tequila in their desk while they're...
Yeah. Or some great...
Orange juice.
Farm box orange juice. Yeah, woo woo.
So what do you think's going to happen next week, Adam?
Mm. Next week? Oh, because you're watching it streaming, do you not get the, like, next week on the People versus O.J. Simpson American Crime Story?
I guess not.
They don't do the tease?
I guess not. Or maybe they do, but I just...
Yeah, so what did they say was going to happen next week? I think they're going to go more into the battery stuff.
Okay, good.
Because now that the... what do you think about the jury selection? That was a big part of this episode. We didn't even touch
on. They really squished that down, too.
Was that a bigger deal?
I just feel like that happened over time. And I feel like the tabloids played a part in it and the newspapers, but the way the show's making it seem, it just seems like the dream team is one who's like stoking the fire and messing with Los Angeles.
You hate the dream team.
Yeah, I don't. I really feel like there's no need to go do a press conference about the injustices right away, especially after the LA. Just because I lived through the LA riots, like I've seen someone like get shot before. You know, I can remember what the 90s was like. It really was not the same. They were playing with fire. They were messing with the community. But I don't know. I feel like they should have worked it out internally instead of going straight to the press all the time. Especially when they're constantly complaining about the press.
Those egos.
Oh, so many egos. Who cares who's the leader of the dream team?
Poor Robert Shapiro.
He really wasn't the man for the job, though.
Mm-mm. Cochran.
But there's something to be said for an orchestrator who brings people together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And often people aren't comfortable in their roles, but really when a good team is working well, you get named the dream team.
Just like OJ was saying about one being the quarterback and one being the running back, and that was a bad analogy.
I know. Even
and they called him out, yeah.
Yeah, even OJ was like, this is kind of like how. Why am I making this stupid football analogy?
All he knew was football.
Yeah.
And stabbing. Well, that's it for this week of juicing the
Why
people.
Why don't we
yeah.
read a joke from the OJ joke book
the
before?
Jokes. I forgot about the
Sorry
jokes.
Sorry to cut you off. I just think it's important that we end in a joke.
Ending in a joke here real quick.
From the joke book.
Joke 212. OJ, words of wisdom, number 265. The truth hurts, but not as much as a life prison sentence. Word of wisdom. And that will do it for Juicing the People versus OJ Simpson American Crime Story. I'm Adam Papagan for JJ Stratford saying, don't squeeze the juice.